Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today, this day of Pentecost. We are so honored to be here in worship with you and those of you joining us online as well. I hope you noticed the beautiful banner, Flames of Fire, coming down from the ceiling in our grand hall. Just a few days ago, we had several a group of ladies out here hanging that. Took them hours to hang that beautiful streamer banner. And so I hope you notice it when you leave. It's so very pretty. And they've decorated our worship center for Pentecost today. And then we will be doing some great decorations for a very special service next Sunday. And we will have one combined worship service next Sunday at 10:45. And you all will have ways to participate by bringing things from home. Please read your second helping so you'll know how you can participate in our special service. And I don't want to forget to remind you that you're welcome back here tonight at 6:30 for our Memorial Day service of prayer. I know they have some special presentations planned for that service, and it's always a beautiful worship service every year. So please, if you have time tonight, join us for that. Our tables are set for Tubi Leaders. The dining hall is ready. We have tons of kids that we're going to have in this building starting on Tuesday for 5 weeks. And so I am looking forward to it. I'm a little excited, and I just said to one of our campers over here that I'm a little nervous too, because we've never had this many kids coming. So it's going to be a great, fun month of June, and we look forward to telling you all about it as we move forward. Now, y'all, let's just take it all in. Take one big breath with me, and let's prepare ourselves for the worship service today. The Lord be with you. And now, as you're able, I invite you to stand with me for our call to worship. Like the disciples, we gather in this space, united by our relationship with the risen Christ. Just as tongues of fire descended on the disciples, just as the resurrected Christ breathed the Spirit onto the disciples, as the life-giving and peacemaking Holy Spirit blazes through us today, we receive the gift of the Spirit's fire that unites us as the body of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I invite you to just breathe with me for our Lectio Divina today. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place.
expressions on the faces we drew. Show it. Show me with your faces. What were the expressions? Yeah, we kind of drew these people with these faces. And then what else did we put on the paper?
Fire.
We put flames, and they were landing on their shoulders and on their heads, right? So it was this massive day. And then we put word bubbles, thought bubbles. And what did we put in the thought bubbles? Words in different languages, right? Some of them, we even, Miss Jerry and I, we made up our own languages because we weren't searching, right? We made symbols. And so I was thinking about this Pentecost lesson and children's time. And you guys, Tessa even said, it's scary. And you wrote scared on your paper, I think. And I was thinking, you know, how can I explain this so we don't have to just focus on the word scary? And I was thinking about my three boys, and I know some of you do the same thing as I talked to a few this morning. All three of my boys, when they were younger, carried blankets wherever they went. It was their security item. They had it with them when they went to bed. They had it with them when they went to dinner. One of our boys even figured out how to unstitch one of the sides of his blanket, and he could climb into it like a sleeping bag. He wanted it around him so much that he had it with him. Blankets make you feel comfortable. I've learned that some of you have things called stuffy mubbies, right, that are very special, and stuffy zebies, right, it's the other one, okay? Does anyone else have anything that you carry that keeps you feel, or you have at home with a special name? A lovey? Does anyone have a lovey? What do you have, Darcy? You have some kind of lovey that keeps you secure? Babies? Yes, and so, as I was thinking, and we talked about the fire coming down, and it represented what, Tessa, do you remember? Yes, okay, so the Holy Spirit. So if you think about these things, that you, yes, Johnny. Nothing right. Okay, you can tell me when we get back to the preschool party area. You carry a little critter with you.
Yeah.
A kitty, yes. You carry a kitty with you. Yes, and it keeps you.
Meow.
That's right. You carry him with you. So as you think about these loveys or these things that you want around you all the time, it kind of brings us comfort. And so instead of us thinking about the scared versions that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, I'd like for you to think about the comfort that came down around these people in the form of the Holy Spirit. And now we said today, could this happen today? And y'all said no. And one person said yes, right? Think about all of these people that surround you, your parents, your friends, your family, that make you feel comforted. And those people are coming to you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And they make you feel comforted, and they make you feel loved, and they make you feel secure when you are scared, right? Those are the things I want you to take with you from our lessons. Like our security blankets and our loveys at home and our kitties. I hope you remember that our Holy Spirit is here with us, surrounding you and loving you and protecting you and caring for you. Let's say a quick prayer. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives in so many different ways. Keep showing up to these children and keep showing up to us through them, God. We love you so much, and we thank you for the love that you shine on us each and every day. Be with these kids this week, Lord. Help them to feel your presence. In your most holy name, I pray. Amen. Miss Donna will take some of you back to preschool prayers, and the rest of you can sit in your rows.
Our Hebrew reading this morning is from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 24 through 25. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 of the elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Holy Spirit, we are all together in this place today, here to worship you, to praise your name, and most importantly, to feel your presence in our lives. Breathe on us, Lord. Breathe down your flames of love and grace and care. God, we know that there are people out there who need you, who are hurting today, who are wishing to feel this fire and this presence. Allow us to be that spark and that flame for them. God, we thank you for all of the grace that you shine upon Second Baptist Church and for all that you allow us to do in your name. Be with our church this week, Lord. Help us to shine these flames upon the city of Lubbock. In your most holy name I pray. Amen.
Epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us for worship. Your face, your song, your presence is a primary way we know that Christ is here, that Christ is risen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. An African proverb says that if you want to go fast, go alone. But according to African wisdom, and I believe maybe wisdom that we can all share in today, if you want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, then go together. Now, the church, the organized body of Christ, in its informal and its institutional expressions, the church can be so slow. And this can be for our good and for our... Sometimes the church is slow to do good. Sometimes the church is slow to stop bad. Sometimes the church is slow to include. Sometimes the church is even slow to change. Philip Gully suggests that the church is slow to look like Jesus. And yet there are aspects even of this slowness that I think we can celebrate. A countercultural ecclesiology, as Stanley Hauerwas would suggest. We live in a world that celebrates the fast, in a world that deeply values, if not demands, results. So if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And for better or for worse, unlike any other institution or expression of community that I'm aware of, 2,000 years later, church, here we are. We've gone slow, but we've gone together. I came across these words when reading about John Claypool in February, and I was so excited to share these words with our congregation. They're the words of Dr. Ralph Wally, a mentor of sorts to our former pastor, John Claypool, really a front runner for many of the Baptist organizations and networks that we connect with. And he shared these words with the church, words that I've built up intentionally here, but words I don't believe will disappoint at all. Pastor Wally said, "We agree to differ. We resolve to love. And we unite to serve." We agree to differ. We resolve to love. And we unite to serve. For if we do not agree, Wally continues, then we have no freedom. And if we do not resolve to love, then we have no Christianity. And if we do not unite to serve, then the world that God loves suffers. And I'd like to frame that just a little bit differently, maybe to the positive. We agree to differ, and in doing so, we celebrate our sole competency as a congregation and as individuals. We celebrate one another's freedom and our ability to agree to differ. We resolve to love, proclaiming to the world our Christianity, and we unite to serve, to partner with the work of God, such that the world God loves will be blessed. And so here we are, all those years later, going together, a going together with one another and a going together with the Spirit, such that the world God loves would be blessed. I'm told of a farmer who grows world-class corn. Contextually speaking, this sermon illustration would be much better if it were about cotton. This world-class farmer was celebrated for his corn and drew the attention of researchers and reporters alike. And as researchers and reporters began to investigate, how was it that this farmer was able to produce corn with such things that people desire in corn? And they began to investigate the neighbors around this farmer, neighbors that researchers and reporters thought would be a competition to this world-class farmer. And what these researchers and reporters found was that this farmer who grew world-class corn shared his seed, shared his strategy, shared his style of farming with all of his neighbors, to the surprise and the delight of reporters and researchers alike. And so they approached this farmer. Why is it? Why would you share your corn seed, your strategy, your style of farming with your neighbors? And the farmer simply answered, "The wind blows. And the wind blows across their farm. And it blows across my farm. And if I am to grow good corn, I must ensure that my neighbors are growing good corn as well." Here we are, all those years later, going together, a going together with one another and a going together with the Holy Spirit of God, such that the world God loves would be blessed. Our lectionary scriptures this morning, all of them indicate that the inbreaking of God's reality, which we call the Spirit, in each of these instances, the inbreaking of God's reality, the Spirit arrives amongst people, plural. The Spirit is for people, with people, actively blessing people. Oh, how God loves you. Yes, God loves you, and God was, God is, and God will always be, I believe, blessing not just you, but people. And it is for this reason, despite all the brokenness, despite all the slowness of the bride of Christ that we call church, it is because of this consistency of God to bless people, I still believe in the church. Friends I love, members of my family, countless neighbors and others. I'm sure the list grows for you as well. Have all left the church. And many of them have left with good reason. You see, I believe I experienced the Holy Spirit of God. Some mornings on my back patio without shoes before the children awake, as the sun rises and the birds beckon in a new morning. And I experience the Spirit of God that way, and I imagine several of you experience the Spirit of God that way. I experience the Spirit of God at times through the expression of my family or through an experience on a team. And I imagine that you experience the Spirit of God in these varietals as well. It can be possible to experience the Spirit of God through these other organizations. I experience the Spirit of God in unique ways, unlike any other way that you've ever experienced the Spirit of God. And you experience the Spirit of God in unique ways, unlike anyone else ever will ever experience the Spirit of God. And these are all good. And for each of these encounters, we give thanks to God. But it seems to me, although these are good, it seems to me that there is something very good about the broken, slow, body of Christ we call church. And we are here today, all those years later, because of going together, a going with one another and a going with the Spirit, such that the world God loves will be blessed. And Thomas Merton, a theologian, monk, Kentuckian, tells the story of a young monk, a brother in the monastery, struggling with anger. At each turn and encounter with brothers and sisters in faith in the monastery and in the community at large, continued to experience an inability to express his anger in a healthy way. And because of these continued struggles in the community, this one monk decides, I will leave. And I'll become a hermit. There is a cave out on the property, and I will live in this cave alone such that I will not continue to struggle with my anger. And don't you know, there in the cave, he had set this jar of water, and somehow, though no one else there, that jar of water spilled over, and he became angry. Giving it his best effort to learn and to grow, he took that jar of water and he went and he filled it back up with water and he put it right back there in the cave. And wouldn't you know, that jar of water spilled over again, even though not a soul was in this cave. And he again had this experience with anger. And because this is a preacher's story, he did it again. And the Holy Spirit of God whispered to him, "It was not your brother and your sister in the monastery who made you angry. It was not your brother or your sister in the community who made you angry. It was your brother and your sister who encouraged you in Christ despite your anger." And so he moved back to the monastery, into fellowship and communion with brother and sister and church. And was this young monk healed instantaneously, miraculously of his unhealthy expressions of anger? Was this young monk ever fully healed of these unhealthy expressions of anger? Probably not. But ever so slowly, through the gift of brother and sister, through the expression of relationship, this young monk was encouraged just a nudge a day to receive more of the presence of Christ deep within and to let go, if ever so slowly, of his desire to be angry. You see, we are here all these years later, going together, a going together with one another and a going together with the Holy Spirit of God, such that the world God loves will be blessed. Henry Nouwen, a distinguished, celebrated, late Catholic priest, described the church this way. The church is not a talent show. The church is not a talent show in which we dazzle the world with our combined gifts. The church is the place where our poverty is acknowledged and accepted, not as something we have to learn to cope with as best as we can, but as a true source of new life. The living church challenges us to come together at the place of our poverty, believing that there we can revel in our richness. Now and continues. That is what our life and community is really about. Each of us is but a stone. Together, we reveal the face of God to the world. Not one person can say, "I make God visible." But others who see us together can say, they make God visible. Now and concludes. The church is where humility and glory touch. What an honor, a gift, a joy it is to be in such community with you, that humility and glory might touch. I'd like to conclude with a story about Nouwen that inspires me. As you may know, he was a celebrated academician. He was a scholar with tenures in Ivy League institutions in this country, and eventually, of course, the great Catholic institution at Notre Dame. And yet later in his life, he received a call, a commissioning, to go and to be the priest in the Laotian communities, a community that was organized around individuals who experienced all sorts of limitations due to physical limitations and other health risks. And so this celebrated priest and scholar went to serve in this very humble community. And even though he had made this sort of a shift in his vocation and in his path, the demands on Nouwen by the academy to come back and to speak at these religious and academic events continued. And such demands and requests became too much on his personal schedule. He could not filter. He could not possibly work through all the requests he had each and every week as to which event he should go and speak at and which he shouldn't, and still properly invest in his pastoral, priestly role there in the unique community. And so he developed a team of volunteers there at Laoc. He has a group of volunteers, a group of residents, if they would screen his mail, all these requests that came from various institutions throughout the world, particularly North America, that were requesting Nouwen's presence, his wisdom, his teaching. He asked this small group of residents if they would take over his calendar and say yes and say no and tell him where to go and tell him when to come home. And it all went somewhat well for a time, until he began to realize that some of the more prestigious academic and religious sort of convocations at some of these bigger name institutions that he had grown accustomed to being invited to, he wasn't going to anymore. And after a season of these came and went, and he didn't go to Harvard, and he didn't go to Princeton, and he didn't go to Notre Dame, he went to his team and asked, I really appreciate all the time and energy and wisdom that you all are helping me with and doing in this regard. But I just had, I'm a little interested. Last month, there was this event at Notre Dame, and I've been the plenary address giver in the past at such an event, and you all didn't send me there. And then the month before that, there was an event at Princeton Seminary, a place that I had grown to love, and I had spoken there at this event many times before, and I'm certain I was invited back, and you all didn't send me to that event at Princeton Seminary. But instead, earlier in the week, you sent me to Central Michigan, which will cause a person to believe in purgatory if you don't already. And I was just wondering why you sent me to this no-name institution, more or less, in the middle of nowhere, and said no to these prestigious invitations. And a member of the team said, "Father Nouwen, the event at Notre Dame was on a Friday. The event at Princeton the month before was on a Wednesday. The event at Central Michigan was on a Monday. And as you well know, Father Nouwen, Wednesdays is spaghetti night for our community. And we make a mess on spaghetti night. It's so fun. Everyone loves the spaghetti. And we need all hands on deck to help clean up after spaghetti night. And you see, on a Friday, well, that's bingo night. And I've lived here a long time, Father Nouwen, and you are the best priest we've ever had here, who sticks his hand in the little cage, pulls out the ball, and calls out the bingo number. Everyone agrees you are the best bingo number caller-outer we've ever had. But on Monday, we don't have anything for you to miss. So we were happy for you to go to Central Michigan. And we are here all these years later because of a going together. A going together with one another and a going together with the Holy Spirit of God such that the world God loves would be blessed. Good and gracious God, hear these, our prayers. We offer them to you, asking for your wisdom. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we continue to worship together.
Let's join together in prayer this morning. Holy God, hear our prayers. Lord, we have asked your Spirit to be among us today. And let the fire of Pentecost lead us in all we do. Let it bring your love and peace. Let not fear and shame inhabit us when the Spirit comes. Your power and grace be with us always to help us share with all this astounding glory. May we be generous with our love and our many gifts as the Spirit leads us each and every hour. In Christ's holy name, amen. Thank you.
peace of Christ be with you and bless you. Let's stand and share in that peace together. If you'd like to go fast, go. But if you'd like to go together, baby, let's take it slow.